Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, thanks a lot for listening today. We were talking earlier in the show about the debt ceiling in the context of the 2012 election, but don't overlook the election in 2011. This fall, the entire New Jersey legislature gets chosen by the voters. It could be a major signal of whether New Jerseyans see Chris Christie as their budget-cutting savior or a bully who has gone too far. And with a growing number of independent voters in New Jersey this November in the state, could be an early bellwether for what might happen next November in the nation. Here in our studio, making a pilgrimage, I guess you'd call it, across the Hudson, is the New Jersey Senate President, Democrat Stephen Sweeney. His own district is in Salem, Gloucester, and Cumberland counties near Philadelphia. Governor Christie recently described his relationship with Sweeney as passionate. President Sweeney, thanks for coming in. Nice to have you here.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
What brings you into Manhattan today, or should we just call it the very east side of Hoboken?
Well, Hoboken, I think, is the accurate description. What brought me in today, just talk about what happened with our budget. You know, we accomplished some really substantial things on pension and health care reform in a bipartisan fashion, and then watched the governor just, in a very mean-spirited and cruel way, go after the most vulnerable people in this state. And I really think it was to make a statement that, you know, either you're going to do it my way or it's no way. And, you know, we understood he would cut our budget. You know, we understood that. We gave him a Democrat budget. But he cut the budget that he submitted. And, you know, I mean, and the cuts.
Although people say that the fiscal situation got even worse. The tax revenues were even lower than projected. So perhaps he had to make cuts even to his own budget.
That's not true. They were actually better. You know, they were better than when he proposed his budget. And we, as a state, we have an Office of Legislative Services that estimates the revenues. The governor's treasurer estimates their numbers. We were only $289 million apart. We think he lowballed it, and we honestly think we were right on. Office of Legislative Services has always been more accurate. He cut $900 million. You know, so if we're for $289 or $300 million, you didn't have to cut $900 million. And where he cut is what caused the problems.
Let me take a step back for a minute. Excuse me. For people who don't follow every jot and tittle of these movements. You were an ally of the governor in the big health and pension reform deal for government workers around the state. Liberals and the unions felt betrayed by you for that. But then when the governor vetoed these lines in the overall budget, as you were just describing, you started lashing out at them. So let's take these one at a time. Why did you back the governor on these higher health and pension contributions by workers and even loss of some of their collective bargaining rights?
Because it had to be done, Brian. I'm a labor leader. I'm a union iron worker, and I represent the Iron Workers Union in New Jersey, Delaware, and a lot of Pennsylvania. And when you see something going wrong, as I did in 2006, I raised this issue in 2006 to fix the pension and health care system, and basically was shouted down with inflatable rats and, you know, an administration that wouldn't support us. You know, the problem wasn't going away and just saying, like, let it go. It got much worse.
The administration that wouldn't support you. So, in other words, you were trying to make these changes because even before the 2008 financial crisis started, you saw that New Jersey was in its financial crisis, but Corzine wouldn't go there.
Yeah, he wasn't supportive of it because, well, look, if you saw the backlash that we just recently have gotten, I can understand it. You know, who wants to be beaten over the head the way we were? But the unfortunate thing is the unions weren't telling their membership that 800,000 people's pensions were in jeopardy of going bankrupt. New Jersey had one of the worst systems in the nation. And when I started this in 06, the fix would have been easy. But waiting five more years created even a larger problem.
And this is what Governor Christie says repeatedly. You're angry at me for cutting your pensions. What I'm doing, people, is saving your pensions so that when you actually grow old and retire, there's any money there for you. It sounds like you support that.
Well, yeah, he basically took that from me. And we didn't cut their pensions. We didn't. I mean, look, I started this in 2006.
You're cutting their salaries by making them contribute more to the pension funds, correct?
Exactly. But that's how pensions actually work, Brian. You know, they had gotten a whole bunch of benefits through legislation. You know, I get a kick out of them saying don't legislate, negotiate, when a lot of the benefit enhancements were done through legislation.
By the way, I see today that a judge in Hudson County, Paul DePascal, or Pascali, is suing the state, saying the new health and pension changes are unconstitutional, but only for judges. The rest of the government workers can pay them. That's getting mocked in the press as a uniquely judicial arrogance. What's your reaction?
Well, I have to agree. You know, we didn't lower their salaries, and, you know, most of the workers in the state pay 50% of the cost of the pension. The judges are only paying 10% towards their pension contribution, and they had one of the worst funded pensions in the state. I mean, below everyone else's. So I guess they just expected the taxpayers to pick up the balance, and, you know, that's not acceptable anymore.
And what about the loss of collective bargaining rights? Does this make you like Wisconsin's Republican Governor Scott
Absolutely
Walker?
Absolutely not. First off, they didn't lose collective bargaining. It's for 1 4-year period, and it comes back, and they can bargain the health benefits. The pension stuff they should have done on their own, and the fact that they weren't willing to is very sad for the unions that, you know, their membership is trusting that everything's going to be okay. And they created a system that wasn't sustainable. So, no, look, I'm a labor person more than anything else in life. So, no, this isn't an elimination of collective bargaining. It's a one contract period that, honestly, they on their own, the union leadership on their own, should have done this because it needed to be done.
New Jersey Senate President Democrat Stephen Sweeney, my guest here on WNYC at NYC. So, all right, back to the plot. After you were seen as Christie's best friend for supporting the health and pension reforms, and thank you for articulating all of that for us, the governor vetoed a bunch of lines in the state budget that you passed, and some of his own lines, as you said, or reduced them. And you called the governor mean-spirited. You even called him a, quote, bastard. What happened there?
Well, Brian, when I saw the cuts that he made, and the way this works, it's called a line item veto. So he actually sat down at a desk. Mr. Potter describes him perfectly in A Wonderful Life. The Winona Lippmann Center, that's for sexually abused children. Yeah, I'll cut that. You know, I mean, he made those decisions. AIDS patients, $8 million for drugs for AIDS patients. Yeah, I'll cut that. What's this early intervention do? Oh, that's for disabled kids to help them progress rapidly? Yeah, I'll make that cut. And there were cuts to his budget. You know, TAG grants for poor kids trying to go to school. You know, for myself and my colleagues were like, we expected him cutting a Democrat budget. But to cut the budget that he submitted so that he could have a larger surplus. And now all of a sudden, Brian, you know, the surplus argument is, well, $640 million is what I have. Now it's $365. Now it's $220. He talks about transitional aid. When he cut it last year, the crime shot through the, you know, through the roofs in Newark and Camden and other urban areas. And then he was going to take him down to zero. You know what happened?
That transitional aid, yes, for people who don't know, that's aid to distressed cities such as Newark and Camden.
Yeah, you know what the problem was? Some of those communities were talking to bankruptcy attorneys. You know, the governor talks about our bond rating all the time. You can only imagine what would happen if one of our large urban areas filed bankruptcy. So the governor says, I always intended to restore it. Then why did you cut it? You know, it's not a legitimate argument.
So he restored the aid to distressed cities. Did he also restore the AIDS funding and the thing for disabled kids and sexually abused children?
No. The sexually abused children, he says he's got a federal grant that we're checking out now because we're not even sure if that can be used the way he's talking about.
Oh, that's the place in Newark, right?
Yes, the Winona Lippmann House.
Right, and he says he got federal funding for that. So that would be a solution if it's true.
If it's true, but let me ask you a question. Why would you go away and make these people think that they're going to close if you knew all along that you had this grant since mid-June?
I ask the questions around here. No, I'm
sorry.
but why would he? Why do you think he did?
Because when the people, I think he just figured that no one would pay attention. When people started looking at these cuts, they were getting angry like I was. Now, you know, and he can read a poll because people see this as mean-spirited, cruel. Honestly, it's heartless. Look, you want to fight with me, fight with me. But don't take innocent hostages. I said, this is another thing I described. It's like a bank robber, and you get caught. And what do you do? You start shooting in the hostages. It makes no sense.
And it was after you started using that kind of language that the governor said, the two of you have a passionate relationship. You know, they don't have that kind of marriage in New Jersey yet.
No, they do not. And it's a shame they don't.
Stephen Sweeney, the New Jersey Senate president, my guest on WNYC. We can take a few phone calls for him. Ring us up, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. If you haven't heard the Senate president in an extended interview before, you're hearing where he agrees with the governor, allied with him on the health and pension changes, where he disagreed with the governor on some of these cuts. We can get into a couple of other issues if you choose to. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692 in the 212 area code. Are you seriously considering a run for governor yourself?
No, that's speculation. Look, people are speculating what I'm going to do. I have a very difficult job in front of me, which is running for re-election, because I did anger a lot of my friends, but I would do it again tomorrow because I know what I did was the right thing to do. My focus is on running for re-election. Other people will speculate and continue to speculate who's going to do what, but my focus is getting re-elected and becoming the Senate president for another term.
So that's not a no, so we'll keep our eye on you for the next few years. But the whole legislature, as you know, is up for election or re-election. Do you consider this a statewide referendum on Christie versus the Democratic Party leaders in the legislature?
I think so. I think that they're going to be judged. Well, first off, there is no Republican voice in the legislature. It's Chris Christie, and there's a Democrat legislature.
Right.
Because when we try to do these overrides on some of these really ugly cuts, the Republicans wouldn't vote for anything, because they're not allowed to. So yeah, I think it's going to really come down to, this is about Chris Christie. And when you look at his budget, Brian, what I actually viewed, his budget, the cuts he made were for the national scene, not for New Jersey, because if he was focused on New Jersey, he wouldn't have done those cuts. He's looking at a much larger picture, and he's out in the Midwest right now.
So do you think these New Jersey elections will be a national bellwether for 2012 in any way?
I think so. I think they normally are. I think it's us in Virginia are the only ones up. And last time we had rough elections, the country went the same direction that we went.
Will you identify a few races to watch, seats and swing air? Because the legislature is already majority Democrat, as you just said, in both houses. So maybe you only stand to lose. Or maybe you think there are a few races to watch, seats and swing areas, where the vote could tell us something about independents and their feelings toward Christie.
Well, for us, we have 24 of the 40 seats as Democrats. It's never going to – I don't think it's ever been higher than 25. So, obviously for myself to protect the 1st, the 2nd, the 14th, and the 38th districts, they're very important. The 38th is Bergen County, Senator Gordon. And we have Carl Lewis running in the 8th. And we have an election in the 11th that, could become competitive. But it's hard when you have all the seats, to hold on to them all.
Right. If people are unhappy, then whoever's in power tends to stand to lose. So we journalists and analysts are going to have to try to be really careful about how we interpret whatever results come down and what they really mean. Julie in Chestnut Ridge, you're on WNYC with the New Jersey Senate President Stephen Sweeney. Hello, Julie.
Good morning, Brian. Good morning, Senator Sweeney. I am a teacher and school librarian of 11 years experience, and my husband is also a New Jersey public school teacher. We're all very unhappy with the deal that was cut with Governor Christie. My particular point is this. The state of New Jersey failed to make pension payments into the system for something like 15 years, not always during an economic crisis, sometimes in some very financially good years for the state of New Jersey. And I felt that the state of New Jersey should have made efforts to pay back what was basically an interest-free loan to the pension system before hitting up the public employees. I feel like they didn't pay the money that they legally owed into the pension system, and oh my goodness, when the money was gone, now it's time to hit up the teachers and the public employees for that. And I would love to know, Senator Sweeney, how you respond to the way that the state of New Jersey failed to make those payments during really good years.
You make a very good point. The problem is that even if the state had made all their payments, what happened was, through legislation, the pension system was gamed. There was enhancements to the pension where the teachers and the public employees got more without paying for it. Pensions are very simple. You want more of a benefit, you get more. You know, during the Whitman administration, they bonded the pensions. The teachers went along with that, as well as the public employees. The police and fire didn't. They bonded the pension, they lowered their contribution, they lowered the retirement age by 5 years, no money. That costs money to do that. Then they turned around and increased the value of the plan for everyone by 9% with no money. So you can make the benefits as good as you want, but if you don't provide the funding for them, that's where the problem came in. So the state, she's absolutely right about the state not making this payment, but the problem is, I can't go backwards. I only can go forwards. The state's obligation will still be the state's obligation. Even the state made their pension payments. The fact that the benefits were enhanced without funding is what caused the problem.
John in Allendale, you're on WNYC with Stephen Sweeney. Hello.
Hi, how you doing? I was just wondering, going back to the individual cuts that you were talking about from the budget that you were upset that Christie made, I was just wondering how we could keep programs such as that and still be sustainable. It seems like programs like that have gotten us into the budget hole that we're in. And don't get me wrong, of course, it would be great to provide for everyone and the most deprived in society, but how can we keep spending at the rate that we are and be responsible?
Well, last year, not this year, when we passed a budget, we made a whole lot of cuts that were very deep and they were painful because we had no choice.
Okay.
This year, there was an additional $800 million in revenue that the Office of Legislative Services identified. Even in the governor's own budget, he had funded these programs that I got so upset about. So even with his numbers, he was able to fund these programs. What he did was he went in with a budget, a surplus of $303 million, and increased it to $640 million. And he did it by taking away from these programs. And I think, look, a healthy surplus is great. It's a good thing. But government has to be a safety net for people that need certain services. Government can't be everything for everyone. I'm a fiscal conservative. But government does have a role.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But where would you propose that we start making – where do we tighten the belt? Where instead of cutting these programs, where can we tighten the belt?
Well, we did. We've fixed the pension system for 800,000 workers. We've asked our public employees to pay more for health care. We've put a 2% cap on property tax increases. We've done interest arbitration to reform that because that was another big cost driver. So we've done a lot of the structural things that need to be done. The next big area for me is shared services, where we start to get communities to shrink the size of government and share basic services.
We just have a couple of minutes left. John, thank you very much. From our website, comments are predictably all over the map. Thomas from Maplewood, pension reform is a backroom deal that affected hundreds of thousands of people's work of a lifetime. The legislation was introduced and passed within 2 weeks. Maria from South Plainfield, oh, please, this segment is a complete waste of time and is completely one-sided. New Jersey taxpayers, for the most part, are quite happy with somebody willing to make dramatic cuts to bring this state back to sustainable levels. So you get one side and the other there. Phoebe in Montclair asks, New Jersey has historically received virtually the lowest return from the federal government on the taxes paid to the federal government. What are you doing to increase the return from the feds to receive the state's fair share?
Well, that's our federal delegation deals with those things. But, you know, Brian, what people don't want to acknowledge is we saved the pension for 800,000 people. The pension was broke. Is going to go broke by 2018, the latest 2020. So when I hear people say this is not fair, what you did with the pension, how unfair would it be as you're starting to see cities and towns filing bankruptcy because they don't have the money to pay for the pensions. How unfair is it for someone's lifetime of work not to be there when they retire?
Briefly, on the federal ratio?
Well, on the federal ratio, that's our federal delegation has to deal with it. That's always been an issue. And I'll be honest with you, someone explained it to me once, and I don't have it off the top of my head why.
Carol in Secaucus is going to be our last caller. Carol?
Yes, I just thought I heard the president of the New Jersey Building Trades say that he's...
No, the president of the New Jersey Senate. Go ahead.
Did I hear Mr. Sweeney say that he supported gay marriage?
I said I would support gay marriage.
What's the difference?
Well, when we had a vote, Brian, in 2000, I think it was 2008, I abstained. And I made a statement afterwards. I gave a speech and said it was probably one of the biggest disappointments of my career because I actually used political calculation rather than voting my conscience on an issue which is honestly more about civil rights. And I said I support marriage equality, and I regret not voting that day. It wouldn't have changed the vote. It wouldn't have passed, but I would personally have felt much better because I political calculations got in the way of doing what was right.
And I think a lot of taxpaying New Jerseyans might have shown up at City Hall in New York yesterday to take advantage of that or consider moving across state lines, so even from an economic standpoint.
An economic standpoint, but more than anything, a civil rights standpoint.
Last thing. As you know, Channel 13 is going to run NJN Television now. And we here at WNYC have bought 4 frequencies of NJN radio since the governor sold them. Our frequencies now in Toms River, Trenton, Netcong, and Sussex. The NET thing was contentious. Ours wasn't. But any hopes for what we or WNET can bring? Any skepticism as well?
Well, honestly, the more information that can be provided, the more voices that can be heard will be a real benefit to the people of New Jersey. You know, I was very disappointed that we lost NJN. But, you know, again, when you're talking about budget difficulties, it really came down to $11 million of subsidizing a TV station. Or do you fund this program or that program, as you heard the caller earlier? Yeah, this was one of the tough decisions that was made. And hopefully the NJTV gets to the level and quality that we look to have. But we also have radio. And we can increase our voices throughout the state through radio, and we're really hoping that that does happen.
Steve Adubato, power broker or a journalist?
Father or son.
Touché. The son is the producer who will be working the public affairs shows for Channel 13. The father, the power broker.
Yes.
But my question was about the son, and I guess that's how you answered it.
Well, it's not fair to label a son, my father, you know, my father's my father. I'm who I am.
Stephen Sweeney, the president of the New Jersey Senate, thanks a lot for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, how to kickstart your business using the website Kickstarter. It's the Kickstarter path to capitalizing your startup. Stay with us.